The simplicity of the gospel can be summed up in these verses from Scripture as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
Fret not, let your heart not be troubled. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. And they said, but we don't know the way. And Jesus said, how long have you been with me? For I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. But whosoever will, come unto me, and I shall not reject you. For this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should never perish, but have eternal life.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
As we continue our look at Acts chapter 15, we're going to see the Jewish leaders try to add a yoke of bondage to the early Gentile believers. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." Although he performed many miracles and left us with a wonderful example on how we are to live our lives and have a relationship with him, he had one very specific mission, and that was to pay the price for our sins. And he accomplished that by dying on the cross, resurrecting from the dead, and ascending into heaven, where one day soon he will come again in the clouds, just as the disciples saw him leave some 2,000 years ago. This is a free gift of grace, and no amount of works or yokes of mankind can trump that. Now, open your Bible to the book of Acts as we join Mike for today's lesson.
All I say for you is I don't want you getting ripped off. I want you having a shepherd that loves you and that prays for you and that sacrifices time, energy, effort, no matter what happens. He's not going to run. A hireling runs when things get tough or they cry wolf. But the good shepherd stands. And God used that in David's life to show us that false prophet comes around, they yell wolf. A wolf in sheep's clothing sneaks in. David took on a bear and a lion who tried to grab his father's sheep. And Jesus, and God recognized this quality of David, that he would be a man after his own heart, that he would protect God's sheep. And it's a heart, it's an attitude. So they're trying to get this heart, this attitude across to the new church. So it's brand new. And they say this, here's all we're telling you. Known to God, he reads this whole thing, he preaches this message, that the prophets had spoken about, as it's written, after this I'll return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I'll set it up, so that the rest of mankind, seek the Lord, that they, even all the Gentiles, may seek the Lord, who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Now there was a cult, literal cult, and any other church in San Diego was Babylon. They were the only true church of San Diego, and they're called the San Diego Church. It's a cult that's been around. I've bumped into it around the country in different places. But they would look at you if you're saying you're a Christian, that you're not. You're Babylon. You're a world with a fake belief. You have to do what they tell you to do, and you are submitted. They pick out who's going to date who in the church, how much you're going to give. That's a yoke. Whenever what comes from here puts something around you and all of a sudden you're burdened, that's not right. He says right here, I'm quoting the prophets, known to God from eternity, all of his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are coming to the Lord and turning to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Let's not trouble them. They're non-believers, and why would we want them to do things of the Jewish religion, right? Does that make sense? So why do you want to put a yoke around them? So don't trouble them. So, but what we should do is we write to them a letter and deliver it, and you guys go there, and here's what we tell them to do. They're looking for something, we'll give them something in writing. Number one, abstain from things polluted by idols. Now, what does that mean? Well, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not have an idol. You shouldn't worship an idol. And people put idols, statues, icons, pictures, and they're idols. And what he's saying is that if the food you're eating has been polluted because the people that made it gave it to their god, even though it's a restaurant and they're in the back and they're burning their incense, just keep away from that stuff. That's what he's saying. Just stay away from it if it's been polluted by idols. Now, that's not hard, is it? What's the second thing? Well, abstain from things polluted by idols and abstain from sexual immorality. You see, here's the key. God knows that you're smart enough to know what he means when you follow him, because he can speak to your soul and to your heart. So abstain from sexual immorality. That wasn't just written to heterosexuals. It was written to bisexuals and homosexuals. There's nothing being hateful there. God's just saying abstain from immoral sexuality. Anything out of marriage is immoral. The word pornography comes from the word porneia. Porneia literally means a perversion from what is right. And pornography is not right. And so if you're engaged in any sexual contact of any kind, and you're not married to that person, it's immoral. That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. That's all he says. He doesn't say, now, do this, don't do that, do this. No, he just said, that's it. Now, that's not a yoke. That's just saying you're smart enough to know that if you're calling yourselves Christians, you should not be staying over at each other's apartment. Or if you're getting married and you're not married, gives you no right to have sex before marriage. In fact, that was used in my testimony with a friend. When Sandy and I got remarried, she had an apartment and our two children. And so like 3 weeks before, I moved in and I slept in the living room. Totally unlike her parents, I knock on the door at 10 o'clock one night and I go to the door and I got my pajama bottoms on and a t-shirt, and there's her father in a suit and tie and been somewhere to the opera or something. There's my mother-in-law, hey, come in. And their whole time they're in the living room, they just looked at that fold-out bed, my Bible that was laying there that I was reading. Sandy, she's in the other room asleep. Okay, well, thanks. The next morning at 6 o'clock, there's a knock on the door. And it's the man from the apartment across the hall. The interesting thing was, I used to be a car salesman in Orange County. And if God can save a used car salesman, he can save anybody. Right? So he was a parole officer? He carried a gun, had a badge. Yeah, parole officer, probation, one of those two. Anyhow, he comes knocking on the door. I sold him a car. The first day he moved to California, he and his wife sold them both two cars. Each car, same day. We became friends to that transaction. Ends up a couple years later, they're going through a divorce. So Sandy and I had already divorced. And I owned a house in Huntington Beach. So I loaded it up with people that needed a room. And I lived there for free. And they paid all my utilities and everything. He was one of them. I said, hey, come live with us. There's a bedroom there you could have. Okay, he comes. Well, in the process of him being a nice straight arrow guy, we have lots of parties. And he starts being a party guy. And his life totally changed. I led him down the wrong road. So it's strange that now Sandy and I are getting remarried. He's right across the hall. He's back with his wife. And I've been witness to him about Jesus. And this morning, he says, hey, Mike, what? My battery's dead and you're parked right next to me. Could you help? He looks in the... What's that bed? What's that couch folded out? You're sleeping there? I said, yes. said, you've been married to her. She has two children of yours in the other bedroom. You should be sleeping with her. I said, well, I can't. Why not? I said, because it wouldn't be pleasing to God. We have no right to have sex. We're not married. When we get remarried, then we'll have right to sex. And I knew that was pleasing to God. And he looked at me and said, McIntosh, you really believe this Jesus thing, don't you? I said, yeah. I'd like to take you with him like I took you down the wrong path. This is the right path. Let's go on it. So we make up our own rules and regulations as we go. But the Holy Spirit says, no. And you have to say, I'm going to have to change, I guess. I really like this kind of stuff, but I will give it up for Jesus. Oh, wow, aren't you cool? You gave it up for Jesus. No, he gave everything up for you. So abstain. That's what he says, abstain. He doesn't say you can do this even though it's sexual. No, abstain from sexual immorality. That's all. And then abstain from things that are strangled, because they would strangle a cow or a goat or something, and the blood would still be in him. When God said they were to drain the blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, is what it says in the Old Testament. So he said, don't eat anything strangled, and abstain from blood. Some pagans were drinking glasses of blood. Now, there's nothing else. That doesn't even really relate. Drinking blood? Okay. Strangling animals and eating them? No, I don't do that. Polluted idols? Maybe some idolatry and sex, but I mean, that's it. That's it. And yet it's, you know, whatever, and take these beads here, and you do this, and all of a sudden things are laid on your back, and you got a yoke around you, and you don't feel comfortable with God anymore. It's sad how it happens, and it happens so subtly. So, known to God from eternity are all of his works. I judge that we give them, don't trouble them, but just give them simplicity. For Moses, and here's his reasoning and his wisdom, and I'd like to ask the gentleman to come forward to prepare for communion. For Moses had throughout many generations, literally hundreds of years, those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. Otherwise, that's how it's been done for centuries, and it has not brought us to the Lord and given us freedom or eternal life. So why would you now say, in this freedom you have, that God has forgiven you of your sins for eternity, he has cleansed you inside, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is nothing that you have to do. There is no big list of don'ts. If you're God's child, he knows how to talk to you and to get through. If you're not God's child, you can't pick him up on your little transistor inside of you. If you're the devil's child, you hear his voice and you continue on your way. But you know what? God has a great adoption plan. And he takes every one of the devil's kids that wants eternal life that would come to him. So why be yoked? For hundreds of years, our fathers have been yoked. And he said it shouldn't be so. So then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who is also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They're recognized. I would like to leave on this thought. There are men that have character in the early church. There are men in verse 1 that do not have character in the early church. It is still the same today. But I would say, those of you that are younger men, listen to me. You can't buy character. You earn character because you live it. And you are recognized by all of your friends to be a man of character by the way you handle yourself. And America has lost men of character and made a lot of men of party that are broken down and they're only in their 20s. When the challenge of God is to be a righteous man, to abstain from sexual immorality, And as Proverbs 28 says, speak out for those that are too weak to speak for themselves. Stand up for a righteous cause and allow that righteous cause to help develop character in you. You can be a martyr by dying for Jesus. It's much harder to be a martyr living for Jesus. And while you're alive, take on his character and let him use you. Let me show you another picture. Do you have that picture from Nicaragua? There it is, Royale. They call him Royale. He's a Christian. He's 9 years old. He has no way to make money, no education. A friend of mine, a former Special Forces, he and his wife moved to Nicaragua, Managua, the capital. And they started with nothing a couple years ago and now have a building. And they have orphans that were living in the city dump. They have adults that have become Christians that are looking after these children. Now his wife has started a school and is educating these little children and teaching them to be bilingual. But they are looking, this husband and wife and their children are looking at these children being the future leaders of Nicaragua and Central America if Jesus should tarry. One day he found a toy he thought was a toy. It was a round ball. And he thought, this is kind of cool, it's made out of iron or steel or something. But it was an M203 grenade. And you just don't step on them and they blow up. They have to spin a few times so the mechanism inside sets it. And he was throwing it up in the air and spinning it around. And his mother said that she looked out the window just in time to see body parts and dirt and grass and everything up in the air before it hit the ground. This grenade blew up on him, took all of his fingers off of one hand. It blinded him completely so he couldn't see. And it now has destroyed that left socket, I think it is. God allowed some doctors to work on his eye and he can see out of the one eye. But now the skin is shutting up this socket, but it's like it started growing the things to hook an eyeball to or something. Strange. Now they have a team of doctors that are coming from Florida that are going to use their gifts and talents at their own expense to meet with Royale and to open the eye, look at the socket, and these ophthalmologists will try to put an eye in there for him. You know, that's tens of thousands of dollars. But it's for Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ. He's their king. And they're coming down in February to be with him. Now, my friend went and bought him a barber kit. Some of you have it. I can tell by your haircuts. You know the zzz barbers. And he can get $1.50 for a haircut. His mother and father work all day in the fields, and they get $2 a day. So little Royale, 9, is an entrepreneur. And he understands what this is about. And he's already started doing the haircuts. And he's making more than his parents. But he's able to support his mom and dad, his brothers and sisters, and give money to some of the fatherless and homeless boys and girls, and to teach them business. That is so cool. And he's speaking to them. He's reading. Wow. You know, it's not an atheist group that's going to put this eyeball in. It's not. It's not any other group. It's the Lord. And he's the good guy in this whole thing. He's the Son of the Most High God. And he asked you to believe in him. Fret not. Let your heart not be troubled. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And they said, but we don't know the way. And Jesus said, how long have you been with me? For I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. But whosoever will, come unto me, and I shall not reject you. For this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should never perish, but have eternal life. Wow. Who'd ever believe in him? That's it. No yoke, no bunches of do's and don'ts. You're smart enough to know if it's right or wrong. Your conscience has been restored. The Spirit of God moves on your heart. The Word of God becomes your guidebook. And your relationship with God frees you from all your childhood hang-ups, all your anger, bitterness, the past divorce, all those things that are like idols inside of your mind. You just keep going over them and you can't change them. The blood of Jesus has cleansed from all sin. You are free. You're not a weirdo. You're not strange. You had some hang-ups, but you're free. And those hang-ups do not need to control you. And those memories do not need to control you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Forever. Let us pray. We're grateful, Father, that we can come to you. And we think of the things that we have that burden us. We look at 9-year-old Roger. We see him, that he's got an eye missing. The socket is closing in. But yet, all the way over in Florida, there are doctors coming in your name to take that boy and restore him from this hand grenade blast. We thank you that he was spared from death. And may you use him. Maybe someday, if you would tarry, this boy could be the president of Nicaragua. We ask that you will take his new barber tools and make him a good businessman. And he'll bless the other boys and girls in and around the dump. So now, Lord, we hand our hearts. We hand them over willingly to you, that you would make us into the men and women that would accomplish what you created us for. Bless my brothers. Bless them that they would see what an honor it is to be a man and to be able to stand up for other people. Lord, show these men what a joy it is to write a check or to give some cash to a poor family or to their church or to serve some ministry. What an honor it is to get a paycheck and know that right off the top you get it. It's a great place. It's a great place for a man that can control everything about himself and think about others first. Bless these women. May these women be godly women. As Peter said, that with a quiet and a meek spirit, which in the eyes of God is worth a great price. Lord, may these ladies be humble and meek. And Lord, may they be used to speak to other women in their meekness and their gentleness as Christian women is a standout to the raucous attitude of their own age group. Let these ladies know that they have a lot of power to help other people meet you. Use us, Lord, like never before. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Mike McIntosh closing our study for today on Chapter and Verse. As we survey together the book of Acts and his lesson, Man's Yokes of Bondage. Those who desire eternal life must place their faith in Jesus. Christ is the resurrection and the life. He came to bring life to those who were dead in their sin and trespasses against God and give salvation to those who believe. It's difficult to comprehend that a loving father would sacrifice his son for a bunch of sinners, but we don't need to understand. All we have to do is believe and remember that we're given this free gift because of His grace towards us, not by anything we can do for Him. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Thanks for joining us today on CMV. Mike will continue in the book of Acts next time on this station. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.